Know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that I can do more in one moment of your life than thousands and thousands of days on end of your striving and trying to cause something to come to pass that you desire. So let your desire be upon me. And as you fix your attention upon me, know that all the works of bringing something to pass is done in my presence, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harry was in something this week. Tell us a little bit about it, what it was about, and how many got saved.
I went to FCA football camp this week, Wednesday through Saturday.
Now, where is this at?
It's at Ave Maria, an FCA's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I didn't know it was a Christian thing. I thought it was just football camp, and I didn't really want to go at first. So I was like, well, I'll just go because my mom paid. So I was like, I kind of have to go. So
that vision of gay again. It keeps coming up.
She's scary. She's scary. No. So I went, and it was 17 of the guys on my team, and we don't have a big team. We probably got like 50 to 60 kids, and only 17 of them had the money to go. So we go, and on the way there, they tell me that last year, everyone that went last year is telling me, oh, you know, it's like a Christian thing, and like the meetings are kind of like church. I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, Ave Maria, that's kind of Catholic. I'm thinking, okay, well, it's not going to be that great. So we get there. never mind. Anyway, so I get there, and the first meeting, we had this two-time Super Bowl winner, Lee Rousen. He was a running back for the New York Giants for like probably 30 years, pretty long time. And he won Super Bowl 11 and Super Bowl 25 with them. And he was preaching to us. And, you know, they had altar calls and stuff. So I think it was Wednesday night, they had the first altar call. And about 40, 45 kids went up there and got saved and or, you know, renewed their salvation, one of the two. And so that was pretty cool. And let's see, 7 guys on my team went up there, got saved.
Hallelujah.
So that was good. And
that's fantastic.
So there was 4 guys in a room, and all 3 of the guys that were rooming with me got saved. So
hallelujah.
I was coaching them like for hours at night and stuff. And so that was pretty cool. And then the next night, he had another altar call, and about 30 more went up. So about 70 kids got saved that week. And it was really cool. They had 2 services a day, and they did about 3 or 4 songs, and almost all the guys on my team were worshiping like crazy. It was
hallelujah.
Great. And there was a lot of kids from Riverdale worshiping, and hands raised and everything.
Praise God.
So it was really cool. And like, I'll be honest, I went up there when the first altar call, I went up, and I wanted to renew my salvation because I knew, like, I'm a Christian, and I've been Christian, but I knew I wasn't 100% living for Him. And I was like, you know what? I really, really, really just want to live for God. And
hallelujah.
Like, so I went up there, and I got it redone. And when I did that, like, me and one other kid renewed our salvation, and me and him both said, we're like, man, we're gonna live for God, and we're not messing around no more. We're not slacking. We're not, oh, go to church, yeah, show off, you know, like Pastor Homer says, like, you know, you can have a pretty house, but ain't built on the rock. So me and my friend Delindy were like, we're building our house on the rock now. We're like, yep, we're tearing our house down, and we're building it up. And so me and Delindy were like, we're gonna live for God.
Hallelujah.
And it's kind of weird, like, Before I renewed my salvation, like, if I would lie or, you know, do something wrong, you know, I wouldn't think about, oh, you know, I need to repent. And it was kind of hard for me to repent before. I don't know why. Don't ask why, because I really don't know. I don't know. So when I got saved, every time I think something wrong, do something wrong, or be wrong to somebody or anything, right away I'm like, wow, I need to repent. And it's really easy to repent at, like, now. And like this morning I woke up and I took a shower. I woke up early, like at 7. I'm like, you know what, I want to read the Bible. And I've never done that. I've never like woke up and no, I want to read the Bible. So I sat down on the couch and I started reading. I prayed in tongues for about 20, 30 minutes. So my parents got up. I was like, wow, this is really cool.
You mean Marty wasn't up at 5 getting ready for this service?
They woke up late. I was like,
oh, tell us more. Anything else?
No. My parents, every morning, they wake up about, what, 5 or 6 o'clock? And they pray for a couple hours. I'll give them
okay,
that.
Now you said you were stopping the lion parts.
I guess Sunday mornings they're thinking like, you know, oh, we got church this morning. We don't need to pray.
Man, okay, enough. He's going to tell us what happened 2 years ago at the family party. And you're doing good, though, buddy. Yeah, really doing good.
I got up here and I was worshiping this morning. And I swear I've never worshiped like that before.
Praise
like,
God.
I'm living for Him.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good job. As far as I know, unless He takes over the next few moments, we'll go back to where we were at. This will be the fifth week by popular demand. Hallelujah. We'll see. Okay. All right. Need a worship song? Worship the King. Do you have that? Okay. Hallelujah. While we're doing that, a couple of you good-looking devils can build. Where, Harry, you can be the white devil this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we worship You through Your righteous one, Jesus, our Redeemer. Lord, we thank You that we have been bought with a price and our life is not our own. We thank You, Lord, for the washing of this precious blood that has washed us pure and whole, sanctified us unto truth and righteousness and peace and godliness. Father, we thank You for everything that You bring forth in us in abundance today, that we can go forth and bring forth great and precious fruit in the earth. Lord, we receive Your grace now by the precious Holy Spirit. And thank You, Father, for everything that You are in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just going to review real quickly. We're going to pass and review. You can turn it around just for a moment that way so it doesn't distract, and then we'll bring it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're just going to pass and review. We're not going to go into much depth of where we've covered earlier, but we want to get you right back up to speed on where we're at. How many have been enjoying these lessons and understanding? Hallelujah. We really want to take you to another step further this morning and go in. Get as quickly as we possibly can to that place that we were at last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But right now, I feel like you want to pray for me. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stretch your faith this way? I receive that grace, Father. And Lord, as they're lifting me up, Father, I receive everything instantaneously out of heaven that I am in Christ Jesus. Nothing of myself, but all things through You. All the glory goes back to You, Jesus. All wisdom, all understanding, all peace, and all clarity. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank You so much. The Word says here in chapter 10, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to doing what? Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and it tells us what those strongholds are. It defines it right there. It's self-explanatory, telling you, casting down imaginations. That's images. I like the way that Pastor Dave talks about this. It's images empowered by emotions. It's not just a thought, but it has an emotion attached to it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, which is this, the wisdom of God, not my opinion, but His Word. That's His knowledge. His knowledge, everything that exalts itself against that knowledge and bringing into captivity, so it spells it out in infinite detail what these strongholds are, imaginations that in their infrastructure, in their building, are thoughts and imaginations that exalts Himself against the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And it says that we have to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. If I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I believe that with all my heart, I believe my spirit was made in His category. I will never be deity, but I am a son. I am a son. I am made like unto Jesus Christ and His sonship. The thing that you have to always know is this. Even when you're differentiating between when you're reading John 14 through 17 and you say, that's right, I'm a son. I'm a son. When he gets to the me parts at the end where he says, with the love that you loved me with before the world was, and somebody says, well, how if he's a son and he's talking out of his humanity, how is he talking about what you loved me with before the world was? The ME, the me for him is both. It's deity and sonship. The one part that we'll always share with him is this. You are a son. You're a daughter. You've been born again. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you'll never be deity. You had a beginning. His deity, that part in him, never had a beginning. It always was. He fellowshipped with the Father, the one that we know as Jehovah, from the very beginning. So he has a unique place. He can talk out of both sides. He can talk out of his deity and also his sonship. But I'm so thankful that he went in front of me. Hallelujah. And I've become one with him, just like him, having a born-again nature. If the problem is not in my spirit, then we obviously know where the problem is. Romans 12 says this, and be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For here, for us, for the last few weeks, we've been describing something that you can't see if you're on the website listening to this. Is on the stage is a set of chairs kind of constructed together in a web formed for our imaginations, for everyone seated here, has represented over the last 5 weeks that these are strongholds, spiritual strongholds. You might call them mental strongholds, but therein lies the problem. What forbades me from going around continually raising the dead? Well, as far as justification, as far as seated with Him in a heavenly places, nothing. Christ has said that's your place and that is your right. But without condemnation and me being part and partisan to everything, what forbades us from living a lifestyle that you, even as a layman, see, the very least, I mean right down on the bottom rung of the ladder, before you ever start to go to places where revival live, Jesus said this. Here's the common, if I can put it like this. Mark 16 says basically this. Jesus is going away, and he said, these signs shall follow the Mary Wallpapers, the Joe Publics, no namers, in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They will recover. They'll speak with new tongues. The casting out of devils was not for the apostle. It wasn't for the prophet. The speaking of tongues, the laying on of hands and seeing a wave, a tsunami wave just follow you continually where reports were. That was for Mary Wallpaper. That was for Joe Public. That wasn't the aspiring prophet that wanted to go in. That was where you start at. That's where you start at. But sad to say, we're not seeing that great move in the Spirit that Jesus left. So obviously it comes down to some of these things. This isn't the whole gospel, but it's part of it. Paul describes here by the Spirit that the weapons that have been given to you spiritually, they're not carnal. In other words, you can't arrest these places with the mind, but they're powerful. They're very powerful. To the pulling down of strongholds, to whatever part of you that doesn't believe that you can cast out devils, that whatever part of you believes that you're too intricately involved in your life and you're too messed up, God won't use me. Listen, He wants to use you more than you can possibly know. But the one thing that you also have to understand is this, and I say about myself and you, wherever you're at, whatever your call is, this right here is not my identification. What you do for God is not who you are in God. Always understand that. What you do for God, whatever your ministry is not who you are in God. What you do for God is a fruit of who you are. It's a relationship. It's a fellowship. Therefore, if you have no voice, you're never heard. What you are in Him, if I ask you, what are you? And if you start saying, well, I do this, I teach, or I minister in song, or I do this. No, I didn't ask you what you do. I ask you, who are you? Amen. Well, I am. If you begin to tell me, I am a son or a daughter of God, and I'm telling you, the days are getting sweeter and sweeter. Because He keeps visiting me, and then you grab your word and say, can I share with you? This is what He's been showing me about who you and I are and where we're going and what purpose we have in the land today. If you begin to talk out of a well where He's visiting you and He's changing you from glory to glory. But listen, the changing of glory to glory doesn't happen through your ministry. My change doesn't happen up here if I teach 1,000 sermons. If I go away and everybody responds, if this house was full this morning and 50 people got born again and 100 got filled with the Spirit and all kind of miracles, that's not who I am in Christ. Who I am in Christ is a son. I go where I go through fellowship and relationship with Him, and everything else is just a fruit of that. It's just these signs shall follow them that believe. And if you have your identification in something you do for Him, you're still searching for an identity that you don't yet have. But when you find out who you are, you can put drab gray on and go sit in the corner. Nobody at the party comes up and says, who are you? And you're just sitting there and you just know. You just absolutely know. But guess what? If you spend time with Him, when you open your mouth, somebody will say, my God, you've got the words of life. You're changing the whole atmosphere by the few things that you said. But He says here that these things are citadels. That's the word, strongholds. They're citadels. Now let's continue to look. In other words, they're fortresses, they're castles built. Now we've said over the last few weeks, and I said we hopefully wouldn't go too far back and regress, these things can be numerous, but this is one big citadel. It's one big fortress. But the thing that we cloned this, or we cliched this, or tried to identify with it was saying this. What will keep you in, and I'll step up here for identification purpose, what will keep you in the stronghold is as long as you make excuse for it. If you zone out when somebody starts talking with the word too close to the thing that you're having to deal with, without knowledge of it, you're making permission for it. When you say, preacher, I just really don't agree with what you're saying, if he's teaching the word, watch out, because it might be too close to the things that are still bruised inside of you. When you make an excuse for why you're not changing, it protects it. So in essence, what we've been saying is excuses are not only part of the stronghold, they protect the stronghold. But when you come to the place, you say, wait a minute, even when I'm not free, I am free. Even when I don't recognize it, even when it hurts too much to talk about it, I say I am free. So Lord, I want the truth. Because the truth will set me free. Hallelujah. Let's go to a few other verses because we really got to get someplace quick. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, same place I moved too fast out of there. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There's where we were at last week, and then we got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Good. We're doing good. Verse 17 of 3 says, "Now the Lord..." Now we read most of that chapter last week, so we're not going to read it again today. Listen to the previous teachings if you need to. Verse 17 says, "The Lord is that Spirit." And we identified as much as we possibly could to take you to that place to say, look, the Lord is not saying He is the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost. He identifies in the early part of this same chapter and saying that that which sets you free was a born-again nature. I think it's verse 6 or something back there. I don't even want to go too far back. But he is saying the Lord is that. Yes, that. That Spirit that you now have as a result of your acceptance in Jesus Christ. Not following the Ten Commandments, but a consciousness that says, I know right from wrong now because, like Harry was saying, something inside of you begins to convict you. You know. And the Lord says, that's me. In other words, that's a spirit that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the same one that resurrected Christ from the dead. It is the one that is a living. It is living inside of all. We're all one. We're one now. Not because of our unity of thought. We're one because all of our spiritual DNA is the same. It's all the same. We've all been born again, if you're born again. And he says, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, that Spirit is the catalyst. That born-again nature is the catalyst that sets you free in all of the reading of the Word of God. Now, you need the Word of God because the Word of God tells you who you are, but the Holy Ghost has to get into that new, that born-again Spirit and reveal to your mind, actually convince your mind. See, because a lot of times we'll say, I know I am this, or I know I am that. But there's a long ways between when it goes from here, it doesn't sound like it, doesn't look like it. And when I say here, I'm not talking about the cardia, the actual physical pumping heart. I'm talking about the spirit man inside of you. When that revelation of who you are and that you're free from molestation, you're free from, you know, that last marriage that went amiss, you're free from the pastor that has done you wrong. You're free from fears and phobias. And I don't know why. I just get in an elevator. I can't get on an airplane. I can't be closed in. What fear? I don't know why. Fears of every kind. Listen, folks. Satan hides behind. And I'll tell you, I love, in a godly sense, the medical field for what it does. But if you don't think that Satan doesn't find a cloak of operation through terms and terminology. Now, I'll probably get some flack over this. I could cut it off if I wanted to, but it's okay. I'll clarify. It's not that the problem doesn't exist. It does. But there is no problem called, in God's economy, called bipolar. All it is demons. And if you can get rid of, and I'm not saying to whoever's listening that you're evil, but you've got to understand this, if you're born again, it's a spiritual warfare. It's not, there's some kind of psychological, and there's 50 different Freudian terms by which the devil, because once you accept something as a term by the world and you say, that's what I've got, then you cease to fight it in the spirit realm and say that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God. And all this is, in simplicity, is a devil. Yes, yes, I will give you this. It's bringing torment. Yes, it brings suicide. Yes, it brings, yes, that part exists. But it's not psychological. It is psychological. But behind it, in the unseen realm, is a devil that loves to be called bipolar. He loves to be called this, and he loves to be called that. He loves to be treated with drugs and drugs and drugs. I'm for keeping somebody alive until they can get free by a drug. I am. If they need to take an antidepressant until they get... But listen,
Candy and I are watching TV like the rest of you, and they're talking about the side effects. And I'm thinking, I'd rather have the disease. I'd rather have the disease because the side effects from the drug will, and in some cases, I heard one the other day, in some cases will cause or could cause suicide. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If I'm taking this to keep from killing myself, why would you give me something that may cause me to kill myself? And if you're listening to that out there, I am not making fun. Depression is a real state. And you need healing. And I love you right where you're at. But the enemy comes in. And part of the stronghold is painting him. He wants to work incognito. He wants to work through terminology and always stay hidden. And Christians have bought the lie as well as the world. They've bought the lie as well as the world. Listen, the day and hour that you... I am not telling any of you, please. Please, I'm not telling any of you to stop taking any medication. You listen to God on that. But I'm going to tell you my personal testimony. Just like in physical things and stuff, when I go back and think about when I come to the healing of my life, healings, like plural, in physical things, is when I got, Gay was addressing this Friday night, when I got so dog mad, frustrated, in a good way, that I said, I'm tired of this. It's over. Now I listened to the Holy Spirit. Because if I needed something to heal my body or whatever, that was fine. But it was like once something clicks inside of you and said, I'm not going the way of trusting. I'm putting everything on Him. Something changes on the inside of your faith. It really does. Hallelujah to God. Are you hearing me? There's no condemnation in this. Are you hearing me? That's the main thing. It says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, and he's going back to Moses, he's saying, there's no veil of the flesh over us. We are changed. That's our change is one word, metamuphe, which means we go through a metamorphosis into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And he tells you, it is by that new nature, we go from glory to glory. And it says here that we are changed in the same image, open face, beholding as in a glass. That's the word mirror, and that's where this comes in just a moment. But we're going to go to another verse of Scripture, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the same guy writing it, same Holy Spirit. He knows what he's talking about. Because what we wanted to do is this, and we said this last week. We want to show you on a very molecular, I mean bottom line, like A, B, C, see the dog run, see Jane, see the, you know, see spot. We want you to see how that the Holy Ghost uses tongues for the believer to get you free. See, because if you believe that it's something to just bless you from time to time, then that's what you'll do from time to time. But if you actually see the revelation of how the Holy Spirit meticulously, I mean just really gets in there and changes. Because what he's got to do is, wherever you're at in all that, see, I don't like the fact of this. I know that I'm being changed from glory to glory. Is there something in there for you? Yes, in this sense of the word, I don't know of any fears. But I will tell you this. What I know about Christ is this, to get where I'm going, if revival is up there and many of you are following with me and some of you may be in front of me, but understand this, to walk into revival where the lame walk, the blind see, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, that kind of operation, unless it's a figment of our imagination, if it is a reality, I'm saying this, if that operation is really, really a reality, then I have to go someplace in the Spirit that I've never been. And I know that the biggest portion of that is in this. It's in His agape. It's some level of love that has, through His Holy Spirit, that is fighting through a maze of everything I've seen, heard, and can possibly believe that is able to come to pass. Because I've never seen one. I've never seen a revival. I don't know if you have or not. I've never seen one to the magnitude I've seen people get saved. My God, if the trumpet sounds today, He loves you. He's happy. But while I'm here, see, if I'm not living for something, if you just get up every day and you're just like, see, I like to have a goal in everything. All of you should be, I mean, in the natural, I'm sure if there's something inside of you where the pump's pumping, you're looking forward to you're saying, okay, now let's just go away from spiritual things for a moment. You should be looking towards your future and say, okay, I want to retire with all my grandkids around me. I want to have enough to bless them. I want to have something. You should have a goal in your body to say, okay, I want my body to prosper. I want to do things that'll help thee for it. I want to eat right or exercise right. They're in every category of your life. But listen, if we're just out here in a vague sense saying, I want to get closer to God, well, wonderful. We all want to get closer to God. But what does that mean? If it means to you something very literal in the sense like, these things get so torn down, strongholds in the back of my mind, in the back of my thought process. And Jesus Christ convinces me, what's the next place for you? Where's the next place for you? Right now it may be just keeping your sanity. It may be just holding a marriage together. It may be just, just being able to survive. Okay, do that, but understand this. Do that. Get your head above water, but understand this. There's an aspiring place in Jesus Christ that He wants you to go, where He begins to teach you on a daily basis. Now, if you're too busy for it, you'll never hear it, and you'll just be glad to be a Christian. Glad I am a Christian. Wonderful. Perfect. Where are you going? Where are you going presently? I'm not. Let's not look too far into the future. Let's not look too far into revival. Let's back up. Let's back up till we get to tomorrow, Monday. What in this week do you have an aspiration for to see in Christ that will change some part of you into believing that He's Lord over every part of your life? And that He really wants to be there in an intimate way. You know, the Holy Ghost wants to get where you can hear His voice as clear as you can, your wife, your husband, your friend. And I don't do it all the time, but I don't live in some ivory tower or cloud. But times I can hear His voice just as clear as candy talking to me. It's just so wonderful. And many of you can. He wants to go to that place where His voice tears down all of these things. Hallelujah. Now here He says this. As we read, and now we're over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I hope that you're there. He said, as we look into this mirror, all this is happening. Now, let's look at chapter 2, and let's look at it on a real, again, remind you of this molecular place, this real small grassroots, I should say. Verse 9 says this, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. If you stopped right there or took this out of context, and last week we read a whole lot more of it, you'd say, oh, I've heard that at funerals. We don't know what's in heaven. This is not about heaven. This is about inheritance. Inheritance, oh, you mean my inheritance of money? I'm talking about your inheritance as a son or a daughter, which means interpreted. Let's think about that for a moment. Interpreted for you and for me means all of everything that Jesus is. What does that mean? All of His love, all of His peace, all of His prosperity of thought, all of His aspiration to say, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. So use me, flow through me by the power of the Holy Ghost, so that wherever I go, into the shopping malls, into the hair salon, into the workplace, in my truck, in my car, constantly, you're able to invade my life. And I'm getting blessed first because I know who I am. And if I'm getting blessed, then this just spills over on everybody else. It just spills. My inheritance spills over on everybody else. You say, well, eye has not seen, ear heard. He's hidden that away. No, no. In the very next verse, he says, but to you that is born again, this is what he's talking about. In fact, he uses two terms here. He's talking about you as the Spirit. The Spirit of God here is your born again nature. Later, he talks about the Holy Ghost, but he doesn't mention him until he talks about the Spirit of God or the Spirit that has come from God, which is your born again spirit. And that's how he gets us free. Remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There's liberty in that place. Now here he mentions and he says, eye is not, but it's written, eye is not seen. Somebody says, wow, it's sweet by and by. But verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Somebody says, that's the Holy Spirit searching. No. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to search himself. He knows what he knows. It's our spirit that has to search, as in that position of truth. The proverb says this, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. But the Holy Spirit uses that new nature, that born-again spirit, to convey truth to, so that we can look into this mirror. He says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. And now he asks a question. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save, or that's the word except, the Spirit, got it right, little s of man, Spirit of man, which is in him. In other words, what he's saying, and all of that, it sounds ambiguous, but what he's saying is, who you are is what you are in spirit. If you're a natural man, then you've got a spirit that's not yet been born again. But if you've been born of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God or receive that new nature, that's who you are. You're qualified to receive spiritual things. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man except, in other words, he says, even so knoweth the things, even so the things of God knoweth no man except the Spirit of God. In other words, you can't receive revelation except through that new nature. It doesn't do any good, and he spells this out in a minute, for you to sit across the table with a cup of coffee and talk to an unsaved person about anything other than the blood of Jesus. I mean, you can't explain to them your revelation on something that's really wonderful because they just don't get it. Because they ain't got nothing to get it with. It's not there. They can't put two and two. The dots don't connect. And he says, you can't, without that Spirit of God, that new nature, it doesn't make sense. He says, which things also we speak, Paul, the apostle, the teachers, and all the body of Christ, one to another, which we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but, hallelujah, that words come, but which the Holy Ghost, now he names the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. Now turn that around. Last week we talked about this, and we used this simple illustration. This is how the Holy Spirit does it. Now, the first language of the Holy Spirit is this, praying in tongues. The words that he uses, the words that I'm speaking to you this morning, I'm speaking out of the Word of God. I'm speaking out of truth, if it's bearing witness with your spirit. If you know the Word and the things that I've spoken, it's bearing witness with your spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has taught me these things, but his first language, how that he gets revelation across to you, and the way that he compares spiritual things with spiritual things, is by that heavenly language, that praying in other tongues. Now, let's see how he does this. The Word says, but the natural man, that's the man that's not yet born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, can't know spiritual things, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, you have to have that born-again nature. But he that is spiritual, that's you and I that have been born again, we're able to look into, discern, and judge all things in the Word of God. Yet he himself, that man, is judged of no man. Meaning this, the natural man, the carnal man, has no right to make any judgment into the spiritual things of God. Now, how does that apply to you? That's far beyond just you sitting with your neighbor and trying to tell him something spiritual and him trying to tell you something back. He's saying here that the natural man, yes, in essence, that man that's not yet been born again, he can't speak into this. He can't make judgment into this. But listen, when your brain, when your natural order of thinking that is tied to spiritual or to strongholds that have not yet been brought down, citadels, emotions, when they try to start talking to you and the Word of God is trying to tell you something else, what it's saying here is this: the natural man, the mind, it has no right to speak into your life. It has no right. No need to argue with yourself. Because when he says you're healed, you're healed. When he says you walk in my love, you walk in my love, even though there's something inside of you that says I still feel hate. But the Holy Spirit is saying this is who you are. And yet we keep many times wanting to agree with this, and this is how he teaches us. Now that's not for interpretation. I'm telling you, I'm by example praying in tongues. Now here's how the Holy Spirit does it. He says, and I like verse 16. We'll get to it in a minute. Turn that around where I can see this good-looking guy real good. Okay, thank you. He says that we look into this, the last scripture that we read, 2 Corinthians 3. He says, as beholding our face, we're changed from glory to glory. Okay, even by that Spirit. So the Holy Spirit uses that born-again nature. Here it mentions the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost compares spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, I said this last week, and it bears repeating. This is how he does it. Let's put it real grassroots. When you're teaching your children, okay? When you're teaching them to identify with who they are, you're saying, show me your eyes. And when they can't speak, they point to their eyes. Show me your nose. Okay, you're doing good. Show me your ear. Show daddy your ear. Okay, wonderful. You're doing good. If they, you say, show me your ear, and they want to point to their fanny, you say, no. Wrong place. That's not your ear. Show me your ear. No, show me your ear. Okay, so they, okay, you got it. Show me your teeth. Okay, see him. That's who you are. When the Holy Spirit is trying to compare spiritual things, this mirror is a supernatural mirror because it doesn't reflect the flesh. It only reflects the spirit man. And it cannot lie. When you look into this mirror, the Holy Ghost is saying this: I'm comparing what I have made you. As you pray in tongues, the revelation of that word is in a process of taking all of that, and I'm pointing now to the strongholds, and he's trying to convince you that those strongholds truly do not exist in the spiritual man that looks inside this mirror. They don't exist there. And he's saying, show me your ear, because I want you to know that the spiritual ear that I have given you is compatible to the spiritual ear that I gave Jesus Christ. The spiritual things from above are compared to your spiritual things beneath that I've already given you. Now show me your ear. And you look to this and say, oh, but I hear these things. And he says, turn. Keep looking to this mirror. Show me your ear. But what I'm hearing about my body, I'm not asking you what you hear about your body. Keep looking into this mirror. As you pray in tongues, he'll say, No. Show daddy your ear. But daddy, it hurts. No. Look into the mirror. Because he is what you are, and you are what He is. As you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit continually tries to convince you that you are what He says that you are, not what you feel that you are or what your mind argues with you oftentimes. And I know that He's saying that because He says in verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord? In other words, how did you know it before He knew it? Who has known it before He knew it? And He couldn't go any higher than the mind of the Lord. That's as far as you can go. So He's saying, who knew His mind before He knew it, that you may instruct Him? In other words, you can't out-argue Him. How are you going to instruct Him when He's saying, look, I said you're free from the offense. Look into the mirror of My Word. Keep praying in tongues. What does My Word say? It says, where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. But I hurt God, and I'm mad, and he just keeps saying, look, what does that say? It says, perfect love. You're telling me that that's my identification? You're telling me that that's what I have to say? I have to say, this is a lie, and that is truth, and Lord, I can't even afford the opportunity. He says, who has known His mind? How did you know His mind? How did you get ahead of Him, in other words? How do you and I have the right to instruct Him and say, I'm not free, God, because last week I cussed somebody out. He says, I said you are free, and you better believe you're free, and you better keep looking into this Word, because that's who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. You're doing good. I'll tell you, these devils are going to be sanctified before it's all over. But we do have the mind of Christ. One other in James. Let's look at James. This is where we need to. Oh, yeah, we're almost there. James. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. How many are having a good time? Look at verse 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. I like this, King James. Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with humbleness and meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That's not the word. Pneuma is the word suke, which means the psychological or the mind. Receive the engrafted word that changes your mind on everything. Hallelujah. Receive it. Hallelujah. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you're just hearers and not doers, you're deceiving yourself. Isn't that amazing? Your own selves. It doesn't say you're deceiving the Lord. It says you deceive yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like this. He's like a man, likened to a man beholding himself, his natural face, in a glass. Guess what the word glass means? Same word. I'm not trying to misconstrue this. It's just exact. You just look it up in any concordance. It's the word mirror. It's the word mirror. As a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty. Now that perfect law of liberty, I can tell you this, is none other than that born-again nature that you have on the inside of you. He says, it's not the Ten Commandments, it's that perfect law of liberty. And he says, if you continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deeds. Now let's back up for just a moment, because this is a good verse. Verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding, and the word says natural face in a glass. Natural face. Now you're thinking, okay, you're talking about the perfect law of liberty, and you're telling us, Pastor, that If I keep looking into this spiritual mirror, which is His Word, and I keep praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit takes me like this. I'm riding along, and I'm saying, I hate that person in my mind. Oh, no, that's not what the Word says. The Word says, I am free, and I'm free from all fear. And I am free to love, and so I choose to forgive. And I believe what Your Word says. Your Word says all things are possible to them that believe. Your Word says greater love had no man than this, that He lays down His life for another. And so, Father, I thank You that You laid down His life for my life. And so, Lord, I'm looking to Him in all of this. You're changing me from glory to glory. I thank You. And so the Holy Spirit, and you just pray in tongues a little bit, and the Holy Spirit is, He's taking and He's trying to convince you. You're doing this. He says, James says, it's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. And you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, is it spirit or natural? Is it spirit or natural? I don't know how many of you remember this, but Pastor LaRue broke this, and it was so wonderful. And in a certain sense, it was so easy, but yet it took the Holy Spirit. You go and look at the word natural. And I just checked it again this morning just to say, is that exactly right? And it is. I mean, it has one word right behind it. It's the word nativity. It's the word nativity. And what James is saying is this. That which was begun in you from the new birth. When you look at that new birth that has begun in you, and you see all the image of Christ in that new birth, and you behold that. Now, if you stay in that, and if you keep praying in tongues, it will change you from glory to glory. But if you walk away from it, it's like you just combed your hair and you walk away and you say, wait a minute, how do I look? I forgot. And what you will do invariably, if you don't stay in the Word and if you don't continue to pray in tongues, you will gravitate back up to a place where all these things become an excuse in your life. I'm too hurt. I'm too depressed. I'm past 50 and my body's breaking down. I've got to have this diabetes. I've got to have this backache. I've got to have all this because my mama had it and my ancestors had it. Oh, this, you know what? The reason why I can't prosper, I'll tell you what, in about 5 years, maybe 10 years, when this economy gets better, I'll come out of this thing. All of the excuses will become part of your life. Because you'll forget that that's not who you are. But he who continues, the Word says, as he continues, as he continues to look all the time, I continue to see this man. I continue to see this nativity. This is who I am. And the Holy Spirit says, that's right. Show me your teeth. Show me your nose. Oh, I'm broke. I'm broke. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, son. You're climbing back in. You're forgetting what manner of man you are. Look to the nativity. Look to the nativity. Where did this all begin? It began in the new nature. And that's where it's going to end. That's where He pulls all of this stuff and changes you from glory to glory to glory. Tomorrow, what am I going to be doing? I'm looking for it. Lord, describe to me the picture from glory to glory. Help me to see how free I am. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Hallelujah.